things, but a battery is one of them. Thank you, Tom. I'm glad to be in the house of God. Able to minister and bless, meet every need. And I pray that God has done something in your heart even during the song service. Amen. I'm going to read from the writings of Paul in the book of Titus. Have your Bibles turned with me there to the second chapter of Titus. I was pastoring in Glendale, Arizona some years ago, and we were having a testimony service, and a young man that was new in the service in the church stood up and testified, and he said, "I'd like to give my favorite scripture in the Bible," and he quoted a verse that I'm going to read today. I'm going to read from the second chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." When that young man testified that day, those years ago, he quoted chapter 2, verse 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And that's what I want to preach about today. In our Sunday school lessons recently, we've been studying the various aspects of salvation. That when we repented of our sins, when we accepted Christ into our lives, when we confess the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of our lives, when we made him our personal Savior and had our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, something happened. Did you try it? Did it happen? Something great happened. We were saved. We were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. All things were passed away. And behold, all things became new. No longer were we the same person that we used to be. And aren't you glad of that? I'm glad I'm not the husband that I used to be, nor the father that I used to be, nor the neighbor that I used to be. I'm saved by grace. I have something to rejoice about. We sing the song in the choir, "What a change in my life since I found Jesus." I don't know about everyone else, but brother, he changed me completely. All 5'8¾". I was getting ready to say 170 pounds. It might have been 185 then. It might have been 155. But whatever it was, I'm glad that he did a good work. Thank God, thank God. And from that moment on, when you got saved, when you prayed through, you made up your mind, you made a commitment, "I'm going to serve God, I'm going to live right, I'm going to obey the Lord, I'm going to be ready when the Lord comes. When that rapture takes place, I intend to be ready." I mentioned that I preached a funeral last Thursday. How sad for a person that has lived 84 years, did not know God, did not attend church. Husband said she was not religious at all. But he said these words, "But if there is a heaven, I know she's there." Listen to what I tell you this morning. There is a heaven. And you'll have to live right to go there. But thank God he's made a way for us all. Amen, amen. When Paul began to write and about us serving God and loving God, and he came to this 13th verse, and he says that we're looking for that blessed hope. That's what I want to preach about this morning, that blessed hope that is ours, that is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that Paul did not stop there on that line in that statement. He did not stop there. He said, if we have hope of eternal life, if we have hope of being in the rapture, if we have hope of seeing Jesus, if we have hope of going to heaven, we will live right. Let me say that again. If you have a hope of going to heaven, you'll have to live right. You'll have to obey the Lord and serve him out of the depths of your heart. But the good news is today we can all be ready. We can all live right. We can all be in that number. No doubt there are many reasons why Paul called this event that great hope, that blessed hope. I'm talking about the rapture. Brother Thomas mentioned, he didn't know what I was going to preach, but he's mentioning the rapture over and over, and the Lord's coming. Brother, he's coming. When you were a child, did you ever play that out there with the family members and the friends, did you ever play hide and go seek? I tell you what we did. We were probably like your family. We would get the youngest one to be it. And say, count by twos to 50. Couldn't count to 10 by ones, maybe, but we'd count to 50 by twos, and we all ran to hide. And then you'd say something like this, coming, ready or not. I've heard from heaven. He's coming. Ready or not. He wants us all to be ready. Thank God. Paul, as he's writing to Timothy, called this a blessed hope. The rapture is the blessed hope. And I believe he had some reasons why he called this event the blessed hope. And so I want to preach this morning on some of the reasons that I think that Paul called the rapture that blessed event. First of all, on the night before he was crucified, while he and the disciples were still in the Passover chamber, they were disturbed. Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to be leaving you. And they couldn't understand it, and they were disturbed, and Jesus said something like this, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Jesus said, I will come again. I believe it, don't you? In the first chapter of the book of Acts, while Jesus, after he had been crucified and buried and arisen up, and been with the disciples some 40 days later, he's yonder on the Mount of Olives with his disciples and others. And as the Bible says, he was there, he began to ascend out of the side. And while they were standing there, angels appeared and said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus that ye have seen go away shall so come in like manner, even as also he has gone. Listen, that Jesus that went away is coming back again. It might be the 14th day of September 2014 today. Amen. You know what I say? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Why did Paul call the rapture that blessed hope? Because over the last 2,000 years, he could see in the future and read from the Scriptures, and he knew the prophecy of what was going to take place. And now let me leave this with you this morning. There's been 2,000 years since Jesus went away. 2 millennia. The church age. Millions upon millions have heard the gospel and rejected it. Turned their backs on it. Didn't want to hear it. I don't even want to talk about it. But I want to share with you the gospel today. I hope everyone understands. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost and born of a virgin. If you don't believe that, you cannot be saved. He's the Christ, the Son of God. He lived a sinless life. He was subject to his parents, Joseph and Mary, yonder in Nazareth. He was baptized by John in the Jordan. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost as he came up out of the waters. He was led into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. He began his ministry afterwards. He healed the sick. He opened blinded eyes. He made the lame to walk. He fed the 5,000 with a boy's lunch. He cast out devils. He was a miracle worker. Let me leave this with you today. He hasn't changed one iota. He's still the miracle worker. He can do what he's already done. He's still the Almighty God. He has not changed. Then the Bible says he went to the Mount of Olives after he was buried. After he was crucified, he was buried in a borrowed tomb of a man named Joseph. In the tomb 3 days, 3 nights, and then the Bible says on a Sunday morning, he arose again. He came forth from the grave. He's risen up. Let me leave this with you today. He has conquered death and hell and the grave, and he has the keys to prove it. Now, choir sings sometimes, he holds the keys. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. He came forth with victory over the enemy. Thank God, thank God. And 6 weeks later, yonder on Mount Olives, he ascended into the heaven. He went to the Father to intercede for you and me. Mark it down, if you will. All of what I have said is true. All I've said is the gospel. It's biblical truth as well as historical facts. But listen, if you will, Jesus didn't go away to stay. He's coming back again. I know that's a reality because I've read it in the Bible. I know it's a reality, but God spoke to my heart years ago, 1958 or early 1959, let me to know His Son was soon to come. Jesus is coming. And I want everyone to be ready. I want my family members to be ready. I want all of my grandchildren to be ready. I want your family to be ready. But there's someone a whole lot greater than I. He wants them to be ready. Why did Paul call the rapture that blessed hope? While with the disciples that night before his crucifixion, when he said, let not your heart be troubled, when he said in the first chapter of Acts, the same Jesus is coming back again. Jesus said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, for as lightness shineth out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Like a flash of lightning, it's going to happen. It's going to take place, Paul said. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Listen, you might be sitting in the church this morning on that hill. In a moment's time, we're going to go. Amen. Amen. Lord, let it be today. Amen. Amen. He's coming. That great event, that blessed event. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming for His own. Hallelujah. And because that is true, Jesus gave a warning in the 24th chapter of Matthew. He said, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. I'm going to paraphrase it. Let me make it as plain as I can. Jesus said, get ready. Stay ready. I'm coming. There's been people in this altar that have gotten ready, but today are not ready. People in this altar prayed through, cried, repented, confessed, became Christians, served God for a while, lost out, and today don't attend church anywhere, don't love God, don't pray, don't read the Bible. Nothing about God. Jesus said when He began to warn them in the 24th chapter of Matthew, get ready. Stay ready. I'm coming. I'm coming. That great event, that blessed event, is going to take place. Yet so many refuse to believe it. They've rejected it. They don't want anything to do with it. But regardless of what the liberals or the agnostics or the humanists or the secularists or whoever, whatever they believe or don't believe, Jesus is coming just the same. And Paul called it that blessed hope. Second thing I'd like to mention is that when that event takes place, our salvation will be completed. And I want to clarify something. When you got saved, you got saved. God doesn't do anything halfway. When you repented of your sins, God forgave you of everyone. Wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you became a member of the family of God. Saved. But Paul called the rapture that blessed event because our salvation has not yet been completed. Not yet fulfilled completely. Everyone that's saved this morning, in a sense, you are in the image of Christ. There's something about Jesus when people see you. If they can't see Christ in us, it might be because He's not there. But if Christ lives in our heart, you are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, and people can see Christ in us. The living Savior, the Redeemer. Our salvation is not yet complete. We're still in this mortal body, this human flesh. We are subject to suffering and pain and tears and heartache and death. We're saved by grace. Our sins have been covered by the blood. Our names have been written down. But yet, we're not completely saved because there's coming a day when God's going to redeem this body. We're going to lay aside this mortal flesh and take on immortality. We're going to lay aside this corruption and put on incorruption.
When Paul was writing the Philippians, he called us a vile body. Why? Because we're subject to all the diseases and all the challenges of this coming a day when the trumpet sounds. Hallelujah. Sometimes I've been preaching, get anointed, and like to run. The older I get, just walk. Now I want you to know something. When that trumpet sounds, I'm going out of here.
Amen.
I'm going to be leaving here.
Yes.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank God, I'm going to be completed that hour, that day. My body's going to be redeemed. This fleshly body's no longer going to be flesh. I'm going to have a glorified body. Hallelujah. Paul John said when he was writing, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Hallelujah. For we shall see him as he is. I'm going to lay aside this mortal flesh. I'm going to lay aside this body. If I die, this body will go back to the dust. We're made of dirt. When you stand in the front of the mirror, you gaze at yourself. Don't ever forget, nothing but dirt. Breathe into our nostrils the breath of life and we became a living soul. And when God breathed into man the breath of life and he became a living soul, the soul is eternal. It's going to live on forever. Even with God or without God. And so what are you preaching this morning, Brother Jones? The second reason, because the rapture is that blessed event, that blessed hope that I have. I'm going to lay aside this body in a moment's time, in the twinkling of an eye. This body's going to be changed. Hallelujah. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more suffering. I've been blessed by God, not because I'm good, not because I'm righteous, but by the mercies of God.
Amen.
I've been blessed by a good health all my life. There'll be pains. Take two little aspirins every morning and one pill at night. That's it. God's been good. Now give Him praise and glory. My wife wakes up every morning with pain. This morning did not feel well. Pain because of arthritis in her back. Some of that church has been suffering and suffering and suffering. One of these days, there's going to be no suffering any longer. What do you say, Brother Jones? He's going to change our bodies. And we're going to have glorified bodies, and we're going to be caught out of here together the dead in Christ to rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught together within the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever meet the Lord. The rapture is a blessing to the dead, a blessing hope. I have a hope, hallelujah. I have a hope that I'm going to be changed.
Yes.
And caught out. Thank God, this body will be then like this. Glorified. No more pain or suffering. No more tears. No more death. Thank God. Thank God. In the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, I mentioned that Jesus said, "For in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming, but when He comes, He's going to change this corruptible body and make it like His own." I mentioned one time before, maybe more than one time, but while I was preparing, a thought came to me again. I had never heard a quartet sing in person as a boy. We had a radio, but we didn't listen to it. Daddy did during the war. He listened to Gabriel Heater. Did anyone ever hear about Gabriel Heater? He'd come on every night at 9 o'clock. "I've got good news," or "I've got bad news tonight." But I never heard a quartet as a youngster. In person, and I was in a revival in North Carolina, and four men came up to the front to sing in that revival, and isn't it amazing? I can remember the song and remember some of the words. And that was before the Second World War began. And that quartet began to sing, and they were singing, "I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life." I never heard a quartet sing. In person. There they were, and they were singing and singing. I was a youngster, and I didn't understand it all, but as I've gotten older, thank God I'm going to have a new life.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Amen.
Thank God, thank God. It could happen this morning. Brother Luke said, His knees been bothering him. He stumbled while he sat with a shower, fell up against the wall. Didn't know where to be able to come. My wife woke up this morning, not feeling well. Not even knowing whether she'd be able to come to play the piano, what have you. I want you to know there's something that day.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
But all that's going to be put aside.
Yes, thank you.
These mortal bodies are going to put on him more talent.
Yes.
We're going to be leaving here. Our important salvation
will then be completed, fulfilled. The third reason why I believe that Paul called the rapture that blessed hope is because when that takes place, we will never have to contend with the devil anymore. I don't know whether the devil bothers you, but he tries to get in our house. We've got the doors locked. I don't believe we ever go to bed at night, but my wife will turn to me and say, "Honey, are you sure the door's locked?" We've got them. The devil tried to get in every way they can. But there's coming a time when we'll not have to contend with him any longer. He'll never come around again. There'll never be any more having to fight against the enemy. I've read the back of the book. I've read the book of Revelation. I've read it through. I came to the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. And that goes beyond the tribulation. That goes beyond the battle of Armageddon. That goes beyond the millennial reign. That goes beyond all of that. Hallelujah. It goes beyond that final battle of Gog and Magog. The Bible says, and the devil was taken, the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the feast and the false beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented forever and forever. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Jones? There'll be no more sin. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more death. Amen. We're going to see the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll not have to contend with the devil. If any of you ever had any trouble with the devil in the last 10 years, raise your hand. Rest of your members failed in him. Satan has been after you. He does not give up easily. When you defeat him on one part, he'll come out another way. He'll hound you, he'll follow you, he'll be after you. I like what Paul said, greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God, we do not have to contend with the devil anymore. Now, some people have painted a picture of the devil being red, with horns, long tail, pitchfork. How he's going to stoke the fire in the eternal hell. I want you to know that Satan is going to be tormented just like everyone else. He's going to be in the eternal lake of fire forever and forever. Tormented with fire and brimstone. And we'll never have to contend with him again. Man, 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 won't that be?
Amen.
This week meeting, had a hip replacement. You know who causes hip replacements? Who causes hip diseases? The devil. This week, Teresa's had knee surgery. Who causes such accidents in my area, the devil? He's the author of sin and sickness and the rest. One of these days it's going to all be put aside. No wonder Paul called it that blessed hope. I have a hope that there's coming a day when I'll never have to contend with the devil anymore. Brother, that's going to be something. Let me just throw this in before I go. When the Bible says that Satan was cast into the bottomless pit, or into hell, and will be tormented in fiery brimstone forever and forever. He says these words as well. He'll be cast in there where the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist are. They're going to be cast in there at the end of the tribulation period, the battle of Armageddon. The Antichrist, the political head of the world, the false prophet, the head of the world church. Will be cast into the eternal lake of fire, and 1,000 years later, Satan will join them,
yes,
along with all the ungodly. Why is this hope a blessed hope? Because Satan is going to be yonder in the fullness of hell while we were enjoying the blessings.
Yes.
Two other things I'd like to mention briefly. When the rapture takes place, it's a blessed hope because we're going to see the loved ones that serve God, that live right, that have gone on to heaven. We're going to have a reunion. Pray to see this morning. His wife was not a Christian when we met. Prayed God saved, served God, and faith. Wife was not a Christian. She came down with cancer. During that time, she called out to God. And God saved her. And she became a witness on the internet. Through email and whatever. She began to witness the folks in Florida, different places around her life, what God had done. She sat here one night, not long before she died, gave a testimony and joined the church. Said, there's going to be a reunion. We're going to go to people that love one that love God and serve God. We're living in a day, and I mentioned this in Sunday school, we're living in a day when people think all you've got to do is die and you go to heaven. It's going to take more than that.
Right.
It's going to take living right.
Mm-hmm.
Serving God, obeying God, be faithful. And here I thought about those in this church, and I thought of some of them, and I knew that I'm just going to mention a few, but and if I leave out some of them, don't feel hard at me. A man played a banjo over here by the name of Claude Cousin. He died serving and loving God. We're going to see him again. Father Langley used to sit along here somewhere. He and Betty, going on to glory. Jay sat over there. Nelson sat back over here. Bob sat over there. And all the way around, different ones. Brother Ellison sat over here. And my father-in-law and mother-in-law sat over here. Different ones all the way around the church. And I just mentioned just a few, but I want everyone to understand what I'm saying. There's going to be another day.
Yes.
Hallelujah. No one saw that blessed hope. We're going to leave here. No more pain, no more suffering, no more tears. And we're going to be forever yonder in the glory world with those that have gone before. Brother, that's enough to live right for us. That's something that we're going to look forward to.
Right.
Is anybody here from Carolina that said my wife and I are rich? Continue to sit a little bit. Back in the 40s, you could hold church. Just about people from Carolina come up here out of the roads during the war. Those of you from Carolina, you might know something about going home for family reunion. I know Peter, unless he goes every year, two or three times, I'm handing tablets. She doesn't get together, leave with us, took a lot of people. Don't feel bad. And we all get together, see one another once a year. Don't you know it's going to be something when you get to all the saints of the ages. There's going to be Abraham there. I like to call him Abraham. How did they feel when you climbed that mountain to hear your song? We're going to see Jacob. We're going to see Isaac. We're going to see David. We're going to see Daniel. We're going to see Paul. We're going to see Peter, James, and John. It's going to be a blessing hope, brother. It's a blessing hope if we're going to have a reunion.
Yes.
As my wife comes to the piano, I got one of those thoughts. Don't ever forget this. The rapture is a blessed hope because we're going to see the King.
Yes.
We're going to see Jesus.
Yes.
The one who died for us. The one who poured out his life's blood for us. The one who gave his all for us. The one who has taken care of us and blessed us. Watched over us. Never need. He promised us when he called me to preach, he'd meet my every need, and he's done it. And we were in the ministry of 55 years and been saved 59 years. He's made every need of our lives. Brother, you'll never fail him.
That's right.
He's a good
God.
Right. We're going to see the King.
Right.
And as I was preparing my book, I thought, Ronson, Mary Jane's there, and that was his favorite song, We Shall See the King. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see the Lord. I wanted to share something with you so well. And I'm going to close with you. I was not only young, I'm getting old, but I was not only young. My folks, when they moved from North Carolina in 1932 with me, did you know there was only one Pentecostal church on this peninsula? It was so beautiful. When they moved up here, they moved in another store building on Chestnut Avenue. 1939, they built a new church on 25th Street. And the sins of God were started. And the church of God was started out of that Pentecostal Holiness Church on 25th Street. The first church of God is now the Parkview Church of God, started out of that group. I'm looking for a Pentecostal witness, because the great Pentecostal revival that broke across the land in the turn of the century had not reached all the other areas around about. It was now getting here to Virginia and to Maryland and around about that, going west. We were the only Pentecostal church on the peninsula in the early 30s. And the reason I said that is this, because God had a plan. He wants people to get ready. To be ready. And in that church on 20th Street. My daddy was the Sunday school superintendent for a while. My daddy was a song leader at one time. My mother sat at the piano as I was growing up those years. Dad did the singing moment at the piano. Worshiping God. Even back then, 1939, the church was built on 25th Street. I remember we were singing, "Oh, I will see him. Look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home and last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I will see him."
Oh, yes.
I stood in the mausoleum at the commencement. Thursday at the funeral. The other young lady was singing, "Peace in the Valley," out of Amazing Grace. When it was over, she was singing without music. When it was over, I turned to her. I said, "Young lady, when we get to heaven, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to sing like that." She turned to me and said, "Preacher, we'll all be able to sing there." Man, she's strong. Give that color seat and that vault and mausoleum. Mausoleum. She had high notes and then that when she was singing Amazing Grace, she went up and sang. She went up. I thought she would never reach it, but she did. When she reached it in hell, it seemed like the place just vibrated. Don't you know, coming something, something? When all of God's people get home, we're going to see the Lord. We're going to see Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Hallelujah. And John, when he was writing, said these words, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." I'm going to ask some questions. Do you have that hope today? Are you looking for the coming of the Lord for the rapture? Is all well with your soul? Is everything all right? If it is, you have something to worship for. You have something to thank God for. Why don't you just raise your hand this morning and thank God? Not for my sake, but if you're saved this morning, why don't you just raise your head to heaven? Thank God! Thank God! Thank God! I belong to the redeemed of the Lord! Hallelujah! 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 I'm going to see the King! I'm going to see the King! Amen! 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 Hallelujah! If you have that hope, you have something to rejoice about. Listen closely. If you do not have that hope this morning, you can't have it. You can't have it today. God and the Lord is here to meet the need in your life. I'm not talking about being baptized in water. I'm not talking about joining the church. I'm talking about committing your life to Christ. If everything is not all right in your heart between you and God, it can be before you leave. We're going to sing a course, number 105, in the course for learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus while you're standing.